My name is Rachel, and I'm on the CUP team with Winnie. We do CUP together. I've been involved with CUP here at All Saints for the past 6 years, and I'm really, really, really grateful to God that we are celebrating 10 years today. It's such a wonderful thing that God has brought us this far. So let's pray as I share with us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. Come and speak to us this morning. Our hearts are open to you. Come and speak to us. Come and feed us with what you have for us today, with what you have for each one of us today. Thank you for what you're going to do in this talk. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my journey with CUP has been... still is a journey of God molding me into the person he has called me to be. And it's not a journey I've done on my own. I'm very grateful to everyone here at All Saints who has played a part in the CUP ministry in any way. And one of my favorite bits is around Christmas time when, as a church, we come together and generously put together and distribute Christmas hampers to the families and the community. I always love that time, and I'm really, really grateful for everybody who plays a part in that. Also, in the first video we watched, there was a couple, Steve and Sarah Trevett. So when I started CUP 6 years ago, they were already here, and they were such a blessing and an encouragement to me, and they gave me a really good foundation on my journey this far. So I'm really grateful to them. So God sees the bigger picture of our lives. Dealing with debt is just one small item within the overall picture of life. And I have met people on this journey of dealing with debt, and I've cried with them, celebrated with them, rejoiced with them, and it's just always amazing seeing people from the beginning of the journey and the end when they come out of it. It's always, it gives me hope on the next door that I'll go and knock on. And so there's somebody here who's accepted to share a bit of her story here in person. She's called Adiola. She's a good friend of me and Winnie. And I'd like to invite her. She's being really brave to tell us how life was before CUP and how it is. Adiola. So, Adiola, briefly share with us how life was for you before CUP.
Sad, terrible, dying. It was really hectic, bad totally. I fall sick suddenly, rise again, go back to sickness. It's not what I can explain, but I thank God that it's good to know more about God. God was really there for me. He stood by me. And he brought these two sisters to me. They rescued me. And I give glory to their lives and the CUP ministry generally. It wasn't easy because I feel like dying, getting up, falling. I don't know where to go. On my way to job center, I will receive a call from a housing threatening me, so I don't know which way to go. By the time I walk down to job center, I'm already started feeling sick, and I will go back home. I feel sick, cold. I had a good job, but trouble struck along the way. Not that I didn't have intention to pay the money, but there is no way for me how I can pay the money. But when CUP come around, it's like God sent them from above to rescue me. And within 2 months, I can't believe my eyes that God is there to send people out there to rescue me. And the debt was it 2 weeks ago? Mm. In fact, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was rolling on the floor and thanking God. Yeah. Every morning, I keep on thanking. Sometimes I lie on the bed, I come out of the bed, I lie on the floor, start rolling, thanking God, because I can't believe my eyes. I know if I had a job, it would take me time to pay back. For within 2 months, I give God the glory.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Yeah, we love Adjola. She's such a breath of fresh air. She brings so much joy to us. So we celebrate it together at the end of her journey. So today's topic is being debt-free. What does it mean to live a debt-free life? I would like to approach this in 2 points. My first point is being Christ-centered. One of CAP's cultural values is that we are Christ-centered. In everything we do, we would like to bring God in it all. And so we always offer prayer during visits. We send out invitations to church events. And there are times when prayer isn't accepted on visits. Even though we offer it, that there are times when prayer is not accepted. Like there was a couple who whose religion doesn't allow Christians to pray in their home. But they were like, pray for us when you go to your church, but don't pray for us here. And indeed, we prayed with them, we prayed for them. And one point, the man got a job and was able to pay off his debts. So prayer works, whether they accept it or not. So we are Christ-centered because we believe that Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice for our sins so that we can live and have life in full. He paid it all so that we can have a debt-free life. If you were the only person on earth, he would still have done it so that you can come to the Father because you are so worth it. Sin puts a gap between us and God. In verse 6, from what John was reading earlier, all the things that we do is because of those negative things that we read about, that the wrath of God is coming. And the enemy loves it when all those negative things are happening in our lives. So the enemy puts that gap between us and God. And sometimes we think because we are Christians, that is it. But the reality is we need to keep on checking on whether Jesus is at the center of it all. In Genesis chapter 1, Adam and Eve were in fellowship with God. But the enemy came with his deception, sugarcoating the truth. And if we are not aware of what the truth is, if we are not aware of what God's word says, we shall always fall for the enemy's deception. So we need to be more aware of what the truth is so that we shall put off. Verse 8, so if you want to join me, it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11 in your Bibles. Sorry, mine. And it's on page 1184. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Verse 8 says, "But you now must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language." It's like we are being told to put off, to rid ourselves off. This is an action. We are being told to rip off anger, rip off malice, rip off lies. We need to actively find what the truth of what Jesus says about him through his word. We cannot do this action on our own. We need Jesus. We need to know his truth. We need to know what truth he is so that we can hold on to it. One of the truths that I've always held on is that God protects me. And about 11 years ago, I was on this motorbike. This is back in Uganda, not in Peckham. there are these motorbikes, we call them border borders back in Uganda in Kampala. And it's the quickest way to get to work, especially if you're running late, as opposed to getting a taxi. And every time I sit on these motorbikes, I always say the prayer of, "I cover this bike with the blood of Jesus. I pray for the man in charge of riding it." And I always pray for God's protection, even without thinking about it. I always did it. So on this particular day, I did the same thing. I was running late, stopped aboda-boda, got into it, said the quick prayer. And somewhere along the way, as was always the case, there was a traffic jam, and the man was trying to, he was trying to maneuver through the cars, and then he just braked at once. And I don't know how I found my head on the ground and my legs in the air, and my first thought was, I hope no one here knows me, because as my first thought was me being embarrassed. But I quickly got up. He was on really slow speed, so he wasn't. I wasn't injured at all. But I got up and quickly got into a nearby taxi. But when I got on my desk at work and I thought about it more, I realized that the truth that I had been holding on about God being the one who protects me, came to my rescue. So, what truth are you holding on to? Even without us thinking about it, whatever truth we hold on to, it will come, it will help us at our time of need. So this leads me to my second point, which is guard your heart. When we don't align our heart to truth, we leave it exposed to Satan. When we don't align our hearts to the truth in God's word, we leave our lives exposed to what the enemy can do. I remember when I was a teenager, I hated myself, especially because I had big cheeks, and I used to stammer a lot as well. In every conversation I would have, I would like really, really stammer before saying what I want to say, and so it made me really embarrassed whenever I'm with my friends, and I had a really, really low self-esteem and very low confidence because I just did not like myself. However much people told me, my mom was one of the people that always told me that I am worth much more than I thought I was. But because deep inside I never believed it, it didn't change. I always kept on thinking negatively about myself until one day I got to know that verse in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 to 14. It says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So the day I realized this truth, that God knew me right from when I was tiny in my mom's womb, he knit me together, so he knew all about me. So what I am is what he is precious to him. So that day I started holding on to this truth. I started feeling different on the inside, and then the outside, just started accepting the beauty that God has created me to be. So you need to know the truth of what God says about you. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 to 11, that as the rain and snow come down from heaven and don't return to it without watering the earth, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and the purpose for which I sent it. So his word will not return to him until it has achieved what the word says. So what word are you holding on to? What truth are you holding on to on the inside? Because that's where the change comes from. And when you know that truth, then you need to guard it so that it grows and the outside will just reflect what the inside is feeling. So we need to know this truth and keep renewing our minds. We also need to know and keep renewing our minds of who God says he is. At the beginning of the service, Winnie said a really good prayer, really outlining some of the things of what God says he is. So we need to know what does the word say that about who God says he is. I was sharing in the prayer meeting that the other day I was walking to an evening class just on Thursday, and then it dawned on me that I'm going to be preaching. It's my first time to preach in the morning service. So I started to panic and to fear. And I was like, who am I that I get to preach in the morning service? I started to be really negative about myself. And I was just about to make a phone call so that I can, you know, do the pity party. But instead, I thought, let me just pray about this, because that's what my talk is going to be about anyway, Sunday morning. So I said a really very honest prayer. I said, God, I'm really scared. I'm very nervous. And I don't know how I'm going to be like in front of people looking at me while I speak. And then as I was praying, a realization came to my mind that it's not about me, but it is about who God says he is. It's about who he is. And us knowing who God is, it's greater than who we think we are. This has been my journey with the people I've met through CAP. It's mainly about who God says he is. And when we focus on that, then whatever we face in the homes that we go through, it stops being a really big deal, because we bring who God says he is in the people's homes that we go to. In the first few chapters of the book of John, and this is also what I have seen God reflect in the work of CAP, is that the book emphasizes that God is eternally present. So he is always with us. That is who he is. He is a miracle worker. He is the one who sees those who are rejected. He is the one who heals us, whether we believe him or not. He is above any storm that may arise. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is the lifter of our heads. So all these truths are in God's word. So when we speak those truths over ourselves, all the negative feelings we have about ourselves, we just have the strength to go through what we are going to face. So I'd like to encourage us this morning to keep renewing our minds to who God says he is. We need to talk to him about what's going on. It should all start in the heart, what's going on. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, we read, Jesus says that, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they like to pray in the synagogues and on the corners so that men may see them. But for you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in the secret place." When you have shut the door. So people shouldn't know that you're praying sometimes. When you have shut the door, because God sees, he knows what's going on the inside of you. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And yet he is also very, very intimate. He sees the heart. He sees your heart. The Bible also says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can sometimes know the state of our heart from the kind of words we are saying. So you need to talk to God to take the burden, and in return, he will give you his peace. And from that peace, you are able to sail through all the different storms that you face in life. So we always try and bring these truths to the homes that we go to, because we believe that this is who God says he is. Give me your burdens, give me your heart, and in return, I'll give you my peace, and you'll be able to walk through life's journey. So when you shut the door and go on your knees, people will not know. People will just see you being encouraging and smiling, or they'll see that you easily dance, or that you're really encouraging. But they wouldn't have known what you have gone through behind that closed door, with your knees, on your knees, crying out to God to help you in whatever you need him to help you with. Only you and God would know the secret of what's going on. This is where our victory lies, behind the closed door, when we are being honest with God with what's going on. Sometimes it's hard to do that on our own, and we need help. So it's always good to ask someone to pray with you first, and then it may become easier, or whichever way you want to do it. So let's open up to the one who knows our deepest secrets. He loves you too much that he won't force you. He won't force you to open up to him. He won't force you in a relationship with him. What he has done is that he has made the way for us to come to him. He has thrown out the invitation. All we need to do is accept this invitation. So if your heart isn't right with God, you'll always feel and know that there's something missing. Because he, like I said earlier, he created our inmost being, so he knows us. So when your heart is not right with him, you will always know that there's something missing, that God is calling me to go back to him. However much you try and find solutions, as long as we go back to him and open up to him, that is where our victory will start from. So this has always been my journey with CAP, just going back to God. And we are really grateful to people like Val and Gordon, who open up their homes once every other month on a Monday night. And we always come with a list of prayer requests. It's so hard to do this job on our own. If we did not have this knowledge of knowing that God is with us. So we bring the most difficult situation, just write them down on paper, and we check them and we pray together around a kitchen table in their home. And we just always receive this hope that God is going to bring his peace in all these different situations. As long as we give them to God, he always makes a way. So we have seen people go debt free. We have seen people not losing their homes, even when everything dictates that they should lose their homes. But when the judge hears that this person is working with CAP, they always give them a second chance, and CAP always delivers. Head office, which is based in Bradford, is filled with professionals who always put together a good, they are good at really at negotiating a way out and always build a good case for our CAP friends. And through God's help, CAP always delivers. So the judges now, most judges would know about our work, and they always pardon the people that we go with. So we have seen God not allowing people to lose their homes. We have seen a lot of answers to prayer. And that's what we are going to do right now. We are just going to go into a time of intercession and prayer.